the house.
However, Gabby's got everything under control. This is Friday, October 2nd, 2020. It's about 10:07 Central Standard Time, and we're here for collective bargaining negotiations between the University of West Florida Board of Trustees and the University of West Florida Chapter of the United Faculty of Florida. And I'm Mike Matamore. And I'm on the team representing the University of West Florida Board of Trustees.
Dan Lucas.
Cassidy Hobbs.
Rami Gujan.
Gabby Noak.
Jonathan Fink. And on
the- Justin Davis.
Amanda Schellinger.
Jamie Sprague.
Pam Langham.
Kim LaDuff is on, but she's not hearing anyone.
She may have muted us.
Gabby, do you have an explanation for why Kim LaDuff cannot hear?
Maybe she could try to dial back in again. Try to, if she hasn't already. You're not muting mics, are you? You're not muting mics.
He's good now. I can hear y'all now. Thanks.
Great.
Okay. I think, is that everyone online?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you guys for your patience with me being online today. If at any point it sounds like Lord of the Flies here with children screaming and running, that's pretty accurate. So please have patience with me on those things. Mike, we've got a response to benefits and just a little bit more about the phased retirement, a survey on that. I'm happy to walk us through that counter proposal if you guys would like. I've sent those to Gabby if she wants to post them to the other people online.
Okay, Gabby's going to do that. And we have a copy of your Article 26 in front of us.
Sounds great. So whenever, Jamie, especially, whenever you have it, let me know. Mike, assuming you guys don't mind if you want me to do that first. If you had something you guys wanted to address first, that's fine too.
No, this is fine. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Okay. Just Jamie, whenever you're ready, let me know.
Quite a bit more than we were expecting.
Yeah.
Jamie, are you there?
Give me just a second.
Oh, okay.
I'm older, and if I'm off for the face,
are you
interested? It's funny. 21 and 22, I would likely take it.
Jonathan, I got it.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so if everybody's ready, I'll walk through it. I think we're actually really close on this. I think we might even be able to get some things signed off today and move forward. I think everything that we've made a few small changes, but it seems more it's just language-based things. I think that we're in agreement on all of the spirit of the material that's been proposed here. So I'll walk through those elements. In our proposal, we've in 26.2, we've picked up language that you all proposed about changing it to and eligible. In 26.3, we picked up the language that you all proposed for striking some of that. The only change that we made to this is that in the proposal, it had said in parentheses the FRS pension plan in the heading. We weren't sure about the rationale for including that in the heading. It seems like it would address all of the retirement plans. So that was one element we did not pick up just in the heading there. Jamie, feel free to stop me anytime as I go through this if there's things that you have questions on that we've, or to answer anything. Okay, so then next, on the next page, in 26.5, we picked up the language about striking faculty who have been employed at the university. In 26.5.2, we had a slight change on that language. You all had said that they will be enrolled as a member of the Florida retirement system into the investment plan. And we absolutely agree that that's the correct current process. Because these things tend to change, and we've proposed just as directed by the Florida legislature to kind of catch any future changes as well. So that was a small change that we made. In 26.5, we picked up the 26.54, we picked up the language of the selected provider portfolio that you all had proposed. In 26.55, we picked up the change that says that you all have proposed about required by the Florida legislature and striking the language of equal to normal cost portions. One small change that we had made in this one, just to the language, you all had proposed the language of saying plus the mandatory employment contribution. We're just a slight change in that language. We've proposed plus any employee contribution mandated by the Florida legislature. The rationale for that is it seems unlikely, but that could potentially change back so that there's not a mandatory employee contribution. And we don't want any potential confusion that someone might think that there's a mandatory employment contribution on the local university level rather than a state one. So we've just further clarified that as mandated by the Florida legislature. On 26.6, we have in phase retirement, we picked up the language where you've said the required number of years, and the language that we have changed slightly. We've added in saying as required number of years as determined by the Florida legislature, right? So again, that same kind of clarification. We've picked up changing it from 65 to 66. Hang on real quickly, let me double check. And added in just, Mike, you could probably explain this. We usually, whenever there's numbers, we spell them out and then we put them in parentheses after. So we've added 66 just in the text, and then parenthetically 66 birthday, just so it's not just the number, just so it's extra clear. There's some strange typos that get filled in that sometimes permeate the contract. So it was supposed to say term at the bottom, but it was TE1M. So we've just corrected that typo. As we go down in 26.6, 2 and 3, you all proposed changing some wills to shalls that we picked up. In 4A, you proposed the Florida Division of Retirement Systems Administrative Code, adding that in. We've picked up that language. In 4B below that, the only thing that we've picked up the language of the written reemployment offer shall contain the text of that section below. We've just specified that exactly here. That's the language, I think, Jamie, just to be sure that it's that it says participants shall notify the university in writing regarding acceptance or rejection, et cetera, about the offer of employment. So that's the language that's referencing to be included. In 4C, we've picked up shall that you guys had proposed. And then the same thing at the end of 26.64C, we've pointed to the exact sections of the 26.6A4A and A4B. So just to make sure those are especially specific. Let's see. You all had proposed language here that says that the faculty not eligible to participate in phased retirement include. This language is already included in 13B in this section. And it's the verbatim language. So we didn't pick up that language because it's already included in 13B under ineligible faculty. And then, let's see. The only other things on the next page under salary increases, participants was a weird typo, so we corrected that. They both have the number 11 in that for some reason. And then on drop on 26.7, we had just changed, you all had proposed language saying changing making a decision to deciding. We've proposed that it would read prior to electing to participate in this program, faculty are advised to consult a human resource specialist at the university with expertise in this area. We're fully supportive of advising faculty to do that. So it's just a slight difference in the language change. And then at the end of the benefits article, we've picked up the proposed language in 2610. So hopefully I think these are all small changes but it matches the spirit and content of everything that's been presented here.
Okay. Anybody on the team have any questions for Jonathan or anyone on his team with regard to Article 26?
I do not.
Okay, great. What we'd like to do, if possible today, we have this article.
Jonathan, real quick, Jamie, we really hear what Jamie said, so just to make sure we hear.
This is Jamie. I do not have any questions.
Okay, that's all right. Good. Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Jonathan. What you were saying?
So I was just saying that what we would like to do, what we're willing to do today, is to sign off on this Article 26. In connection to the MOU that we proposed about release time a couple of sessions ago for the UFF release time for this just this spring. As we said at the time, that just it clarifies that for the spring that course release cap is not will not be enforced. And as we said, going forward, we have everything else worked out to go forward. The reason that there's a slight sense of time crunch on that is that we're required by the CBA to report our release time here in October. And so we want to get that to the departments as soon as possible for planning. So we're, and Ramey has signed copies that I've already pre-signed of both of these and that he can provide to you. So we're willing, if you guys are, to sign off on both of those in tandem today.
Okay. Do we have a caucus room, Dan?
Yes.
All right. Why don't we step out to a quick caucus, and we'll be right back. Okay. I don't think we're going to be very long. Okay. Join us in the caucus meeting. Let's guess first check to see if anyone has come back. From our team. Are you there?
Jamie's here. Kim's here.
Pam's here.
I'm here.
Amanda's here.
All right, thanks.
Jonathan here?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so this is kind of our approach. We see that there are four issues that are floating around out there to get to a contract. And kind of this is where we're at with all four of them, rather than breaking them up into separate pieces. The 26 that you gave us today, with a few changes that appear to be clarifications and minor, we're good with that. And we have an open mind to the MOU, if we can wrap everything up.
Which MOU are you talking about?
The MOU on the phased retirement. That's right, Dan. Forgot this too.
A lot of there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike, did you mean phased retirement, or did you mean what we just put forward about the release time?
Phased retirement.
Both of them. Okay.
Okay, so that's issue number one is phased retirement. 26 and the phased retirement MOU. We have an Article 35 to provide you on bylaws. It's revised from what you gave us two times ago, two iterations ago. It's the short version. It's only two sentences long. And it is limited in scope, and I want to express our thoughts and interests with regard to why we did this. We're concerned that if we open up bylaws to just a generic description governance responsibilities, it could result in bylaws that have a fiscal impact. And that's concerning for us. So contractually, the right to have bylaws would be on tenure, promotion, and evaluation. And then any other bylaws would be subject, those bylaws, any other, would be subject to review and approval of the appropriate officials of the university administration. That was your last sentence, I think, two versions ago. So, like, for example, we know we've talked a lot about summer appointments and assignments as they would relate to bylaws. Well, if there was a bylaw that said, for example, in summer, that tenured full professors get first dibs on all summer assignments, and then there's a rank order going down from that, that would have a significant fiscal impact on how we would assign a summer and what we would be able to offer. And so there's a concern about that. And that's why, that's one example, but that's why we limited the Article 35 language to the core bylaws of tenure, promotion, evaluation. Okay, so that's that issue. The university is in a fiscal situation where they're unable to provide a wage increase for this year. And I appreciate the fact that in our conversations with regard to that, you as a team, the faculty Florida team, has understood what we were saying and appreciated the situation that everyone is in. We're concerned, though, about trying to agree to future commitments of funds that would be used for compensation in this year. So that would be agreeing to some promotion, new promotional track in the future, agreeing to some payment for a certain class of employees, like those who would be tenure track, or any other kind of other combination of future increases, because we don't know what our resources are going to be next year or the year after that. And we want to be able to negotiate whatever compensation benefit is available at that time. So, for example, if we go this year without any wage increase across the board, for example, and we have money next year, but we only have enough money for an across-the-board increase next year, we probably would want to we may want to spend it in that manner than fund a pre-agreed promotional track that's new, or to give a benefit to a particular class of employees. So that's where we're at with that. Now, with regard to the release time, we are not ready to sign off on that at this time. I think we will probably would like to hear your thoughts on the other three articles or areas of wages, phased retirement, and bylaws before we can get to that. So that's where we're at. We think that that's our path to a contract. And
okay. So for our team, did you guys have any questions about that? I can respond if you guys have any questions you wanted to ask.
No, why don't you get started, John?
Okay. Well, thank you, Mike. We appreciate the feedback on those elements. I tell you what, why don't we're going to take a caucus real quick and talk about these elements, and then come back on those things.
Okay, good. Okay.
You guys have a place?
We might just step outside. I'm not sure, and just kind of call.
We could go and use the other conference room.
Yeah.
And I'll show you where it is.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Okay.
Across the bathroom, floor 24.
You can use the other conference room. And,
we'll stay over here.
Stay here.
Okay. Are we going to also caucus?
Does our team
want to
caucus too?
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry, real quickly, can I, something before we caucus?
Yeah.
Well, they left, so go ahead.
My team left?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll it's okay, but that, we also gave you a copy of our phased retirement that we surveyed faculty who were 65 and over to ask if that were a cap were lifted on a temporary basis, would they be interested in taking it? We had 24 faculty who were over 65 said that they would be interested in that. So that's a significant salary savings, $2.5 million, if you're looking at $100,000 per each faculty member. So we had a really strong feedback from them on that. So that's what we've included in there as well, for that opening up phased retirement as a possibility to address financial concerns.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. We'll we probably will caucus. Our team will caucus, and we'll talk about that and respond to that also.
That's what's in the packet. I just wanted to make sure you guys knew what that was. That's a recent survey. Okay, they're calling me in caucus. I'll go talk to them.
All right. Okay. Thanks. Kim, are you back? Pam, are you back?
Back now.
All right. I think everybody's here.
Okay, great. Well, thank you guys for the opportunity to caucus and talk about your proposals. What we're prepared to do today to hopefully continue to move forward on these items, we're willing to sign off on the benefits article that we proposed, and not contingent upon the MOU of the release time. If we think it's beneficial that if we're in agreement on that benefits article to move forward on that, and we'd also be willing to sign off on the what we previously proposed, the MOU about the MOU regarding the phased retirement process to help address some of our financial considerations and to provide that temporary benefit for faculty. So those are two things that we're willing to sign off on without contingency. The other elements, those are things that we're going to have to take back and look at more fully.
Okay, so if I understand, Jonathan, 26 can be signed, standing alone, MOU on phased retirement can be signed standing alone, so we could sign either one of them or both of them. Is that how I understand it?
Yes, that's correct. For the MOU on phased retirement, Ramey, we don't have a pre-signed copy of that. So that would be something where, like, if you wanted to sign it and we noticed, if we felt the need, like, to notice me coming in to sign it, I could do that, you know, or I could, you know, however you guys want to navigate that. But we have the pre-signed version of the benefits one today, standalone.
Okay.
Do you want a caucus again?
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. It won't be long.
Okay.
So the university BOT team, bargaining team, needs to leave this meeting and join us on the caucus line.
Thank you. All right, I think we're all here.
Okay, great.
All right, great. So what we'd like to do is go ahead and sign Article 26 today. We're not opposed to the MOU on phased retirement, but we'd like to have one more meeting with our people about a particular line of the survey, kind of our finance people, quite frankly, but participation and interest would be a lot less than that, so I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing that there's a lot of participation and interest. Maybe it gives them some pause to, you know, I know at one point you talked about the possibility of a cap. So anyway, we'll have an answer for that next time we meet, for sure. And now the cat flew off my pen in my car, so I didn't really want to don't lend pens anymore. Do you mind?
No. Just spray my hands before I get back.
I was going to say, I have spent the last 24 hours with the president, so.
I'm sure you have.
And Melania. Melania and I had cocktails.
You were in Jersey last night, huh?
Yeah, Melania and I had cocktails. But,
it was a long bar. You were at one end, she was at the other.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, she didn't say two words.
Hey, Mike, as you guys are signing on the survey, if there's anything that you all, if there's additional information that would be beneficial for us to survey faculty about on this issue, let us know. Like, we're happy to reach out to them, or obviously the university can reach out to them individually. One of the things I was going to add too, and I Jamie had mentioned this previously as well, and I know that it's correlated, it's not causal between hire date and age, because we hire people at different ages. But in general, I looked over our current roster of in-unit faculty, and there's 50 faculty who in-unit faculty members who have hire dates at 2000 or earlier. So I think that'll kind of give you a ballpark. There's about 50 people who've been here 20 years. I don't know how that will correspond to the numbers that we have here. 24 have initiated at least interest in this program. But those are the kind of the ballpark structures we're looking at.
Okay. Now, I don't think there's anything that we need, Jonathan. I think we're in good shape to make a decision on that and have that answer for you next time. We just want the opportunity to have one more conversation.
Well, I think it would be an absolutely great solution for everyone involved for, you know, all of the financial elements and for faculty. I hope other universities have the same wisdom on that path forward.
While I'm doing this, Daniel, maybe you could work out our next meeting.
Okay. We wanted to offer a couple dates to you to schedule the next meeting, and I think we would like to try to do it sooner than later. Our hope is that we can conclude, it is October. So we have the 8th starting at 2 o'clock available. and that's this month.
Okay.
And the 12th, also available. So I didn't know which one works better for your team, but those are available.
Okay. I'll tell you what.
Ben said we're okay with the next thing if we do it basically today. So.
Gotcha. Good practice is 7 days, but it's not the carbon stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Like all the work, kind of depends.
Would it be possible just to go ahead and notice both days and pull one back? We can be available on both.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go ahead and notice both of them then. And then we'll be.
Is there a time on the 12th that works better for?
12th, I'm open. I'm open all day. I mean, if the 10 o'clock time works okay for you guys.
Okay with me.
10
a.m. on the 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get some of this.
You put 2 right on the 8th.
You never know. I'm feeling pretty good today. What was the
10 on the 12th, and you guys said 2 on the 8th?
On the 8th, it has to be 2 o'clock. That's the only time team members are there.
Yeah, I may have to step out early on the 12th, but he's the one that needs to be there. So.
What's the time on the 12th?
The 12th at 10 a.m.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So, if you, Mike, we have another quick question for you guys that's not related to these specific proposals. You guys have a second.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so one of the kind of the interesting things that has come up that we'd be interested in your guys' thoughts on is, faculty are very appreciative. I know I use it all the time in my classes of our new, the Zoom accounts, the university Zoom accounts that we have set up. There's an interesting question about the access to those accounts and where things may come into conflict, right? So as you guys know, our email accounts, computers, all those are university property, and like our university email accounts are subject to public records requests, et cetera, you know, all of those things. So my assumption would be that the university Zoom accounts also fall under that parameters for public records requests, et cetera, based on the fact that they're university owned accounts, right? That they're not things that faculty themselves are paying for. Where that potentially comes in conflict is the CBA has language about, you know, classroom observation, classroom visitation, those things, because they're not just email accounts, but they're classroom spaces. So there's potential conflict that enters into if this is a university space, but it's also a classroom space that has sort of observation requirements as well. So we'd be interested in kind of your guys' thoughts on that. If the university has access to faculty members' Zoom, accounts, kind of what the university's position is on this issue with this new technology.
Okay, I would have to. I understand the question. It actually has been raised at other universities.
Okay.
That are going to a more a video conference platform, and also for all sorts of reasons, meetings, department meetings, students, delivery of instruction, even research. I'll have to find out because I think everyone's system is a little bit different in terms of technology that's in practice, and I don't know what. How things are maintained. So I'll have to look into that, Jonathan, but I understand the question. I'll probably be able to get back to you by the next time we meet.
Okay, that sounds great. We were just, faculty were curious about the university's position on that because it's integrating a new technology that has, Okay, yeah, so you get the question. The only articles now that I think that are, I assume you guys signed off on the benefits one?
Yes.
Okay, so the only ones that of our current articles that are open are sabbaticals and salary. So we'll certainly come in with a proposal to try and resolve everything at our next session. And we'll think about it in creative ways that we hear the university's concern about finances. What we're trying to balance is that faculty, you know, they're willing to accept the financial concerns of the university if the university in turn also, you know, recognizes their concerns in maybe some non-financial areas. So we'll try and navigate that as a way to resolve the contract.
Okay. Appreciate that. All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank everybody who participated today.
Jonathan, did you want to mention the October release date issue?
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, Jesse, we'll that's something we can wait until next time. It's a good question. We'll wait on that.
Okay. All right, everyone. We'll have a great weekend.
Okay. All right. And Mike, if you happen to have any expertise in maritime law, there's a lot of barges that have washed ashore here.
Yeah, I don't.